you remember last week we began with Paul talking to the Christian about how in Christ we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We need to remember that. Sometimes Christians, we walk around looking like we've been defeated already, and we forget. We get under pressure, we get in trials, we forget that we've already won. The Bible says the devil is here on earth and he's enraged because he knows he only has a short time. The church needs to get a hold of that truth and know that in Christ we can do all things. We're going to be in Ephesians 2 this morning, verses 1 through 10. For our visitors, we have the word on the wall. I like to preach out of the English Standard Version here lately, so we're all looking at the same translation. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, I thank You that Your word never returns to You void. You said, as the snow and the rain water the earth and accomplish what You send it out to do, that Your word is the same. So, Father, this morning, as I sow Your word, I ask that You open every ear here, every spiritual ear, every spiritual eye, and help us to see ourselves, Lord, as You see us, whether we be saved or whether we be lost. Father, I pray that this will be the day of salvation for someone here, or a day of reconciliation, a day of reclaiming if someone's away from You, that this will be a time they will relinquish the control of their lives back into Your hands. And we ask that everything in here today be said and done for Your glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, as I said last week, he pointed out that God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven. How much is every? All, every, not Al's. You know, I like to say, sometimes we look at it like God's blessed Al with spiritual blessings. All's half Al. So we've got some, we don't have others. And as Christians, we struggle sometimes to attain these blessings, and the Bible says they're a gift of God. What if I went and put $1,000 in your account and told you that was there for you to draw anytime you wished as a gift, and you never touched it? I would be offended. Of course, if I put $1,000 in your account, I probably stole it somewhere. You know, I might be laundering some money. But, you know, and I told you that money's there and you never used it. And I was at your house one day and you used to complain about, I can't get this bill paid. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know what to do for that. And I say, man, I put money in your account. Why don't you draw off of it? One day the Holy Spirit revealed something to me as a baby Christian I never forgot. He said, I did it all on the cross. You don't have to strive to do anything other than obey Me and allow Me to shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing you need is yours. Christian, you just have to receive that. Ooh, he's getting into that name it and claim it stuff. No, I'm not. The fact is, the Bible says that in Christ all the promises of God are yes. And in Him, the amen is given to the glory of God. That is ours, Christian. What does amen mean? So be it. We're just agreeing with Him. When we give the amen, we're agreeing with the Lord and saying, I agree with you. God says, I've blessed you. I agree. But I don't feel very blessed. God, my dog's sick. My wife left. They laid me off. My kids don't want nothing to do with me. They think I'm a religious fanatic. I don't feel blessed. Well, where did you read where He said, when you feel it, you're blessed? That's not what God said. You remember what Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Anybody that tells you when you're a Christian you're not going to have trouble or you shouldn't have trouble is either a liar or they're ignorant. Because the Lord Jesus Christ told us we'd have trouble. The disciples told us we would have trouble. Paul told one church, I told you that we with much tribulation will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not an easy road. That's why not everybody wants to walk on it. The road to heaven is narrow, Jesus said, constricted by pressure. And He said very few find it. Because we start walking on that road, we don't like it. We get like the Jews. They get to Jordan and say, we're going back to Egypt, Moses. Back where we had leeks and garlics to eat. We had flesh in the pot. Nobody said where the taskmasters beat my back raw. Where I worked from Kinsey to Kinsey and we died at 40 years old. Because when we start looking back at our sin, we forget about the misery. Now, Paul this morning is addressing the church, and he begins by talking about your past reality. If you're a Christian, he says that you were dead to God. Well, that's not very nice. I try. You remember, I talked about religion last week, and the theologian Karl Barth said religion is man's attempt to get to God. We try to please Him. We try to appease Him, whoever we think He is. We think by doing good works, if I dress a certain way, if I talk a certain way, if I give up these habits, if I go to church 3 times a week, if I believe, we got the hyper-grace people saying, all you got to do is believe, but I never hear any of them define believe. What does that mean? We were talking this morning that in John chapter 8, it said many of the Jews believed on Jesus. And He said to them, if My Word abides in you, if it lives in you, if it finds a home in you, then you're My disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you believe that this morning? All right, then I'm giving you the truth, and this is to set you free. It's not My truth, it's His. Paul said, you were dead to God. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins. Now, I told you last week that there is a 4-point theme in most of Paul's epistles, and he expresses this in every epistle. He elaborates on his 4 points. All preachers got points. You know, I was taught to preach a 3-point sermon. It never stuck. I'm not much of a 3-pointer. But Paul said there's 4 points about Jesus Christ the church needs to get a hold of. And by get a hold of this, that's not a head experience. It's a heart experience. The Greek word for knowing and the Hebrew word for knowing is intimacy. Adam knew Eve and she had Seth. God says, I want you to know Me. I want you to intimately know Me. I want us to have this intimate relationship. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and because of Him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, here's the 4 points, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Paul said, every bit of that is in Christ. You cannot get any one of those outside of Christ. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So He chose by the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. we're dead. This was our past reality. If you're a Christian here today, you were dead. If you're not a Christian here today, you're dead. You're dead to God, you just don't have the good grace to lay down. I didn't say that, the Bible says that. God says that. Can you imagine you as a dead man or a dead woman trying to get His attention, trying to get to Him? You can't do it. Oh, that sounds cold. Paul explains the danger of religion apart from Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 8, for the mind that is set on the flesh. Let's have a definitional term. What does the Bible mean when it says the flesh? The Greek word there is soma. It means body, literally the body. Spiritually, it means the mind without the influence of the Holy Spirit. You remember in Eden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve and he said, you can be just like God. That's the flesh. Because when they broke that fellowship with God, then they were in the flesh. The Holy Spirit departed from them. Being in the flesh means that I try to get to God on my terms, the best way I think I should get to Him. And God help us, sometimes in the church we feed that. People come in here looking for salvation, and we so much give them the wrong impression. Well, you need to quit smoking them cigarettes. You need to quit drinking that Jim Beam. You need to quit smoking that Marahuchi. You know. You need to give a little more money. You need not wear all that gold. Ladies ought to have their hair piled up. The Pentecostal hairdo, PhD, just higher and higher, you know. You need to wear your dress down to here. You need to wear long sleeve shirts. Shouldn't have tattoos. See what I'm saying? Now these are things the Holy Spirit has dealt with us on. The Holy Spirit dealt with me on my tobacco and said, that's a god. You can't have two gods. You're either going to serve one, hate the other, or you're going to love one, hate another. So what are you going to do? I said, well, all right. But that doesn't give me a right when you come in here and I know you smoke, say, boy, if you quit smoking, you'd be a Christian. That's a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. Paul said the mind that is set, that's the key, set on the flesh. Your mind is set on what you want, but you want God to bless it and be involved in your life. And so you throw the name Jesus out there once in a while. And when we're singing, you go, praise the Lord, because the other people are doing it. Well, here we don't so much do this. Praise the Lord. Raise your eyebrows, maybe. I'm going to get you all raising your hands one of these days. Or the Holy Spirit is. Amen. There ain't a thing wrong with that, church. The Bible says, lift up holy hands. When you praise the Lord, well, everybody will look at me. Let them look. They're looking at you anyway. They're wondering why you wore that blouse with those pants. Why did he shave his head? I know that's what some of you thought. Is he ever going to make up his mind? Good night. One guy asked me why I shaved my head. I said, because I can't afford a Harley. That's my logic. I'm going through midlife and I can't afford a Harley. So, you know, something's got to change. Paul said the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. You don't mean to be, but you are. You're His enemy. I heard a newscaster several years ago say, after all, we're all children of God. That's Mormonism. That's not the Bible. You become a child of God through the Spirit of adoption, who is the Holy Spirit, who comes to live in the Christian that has committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Then God calls you son or daughter. Otherwise, Jesus said you're a son of the devil. And your mind, even your mind, is hostile to God. It's hateful. And here's why. He says it does not submit to God's will, nor can it. The things of God sound foolishness to the flesh. You remember before you were saved, maybe somebody's sharing Jesus Christ with you or sharing something out of the Word with you, and you thought that's one of the stupidest things I ever heard. That doesn't apply to me. You got angry, you got defensive. when the Holy Spirit was shedding light on you and showing you truth and it made you mad. Those Jews that believed in Jesus today, the preachers would run out there with membership cards and say, "We'd like to have you in our church because you believe in Jesus. So that means you're a Christian. Praise God, you're saved. Just acknowledge that you're saved. Announce that you're saved. Believe that you're saved. And come join our church because you believe in Jesus." And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are slaves of sin. You are children of the devil." And they got so mad they wanted to kill him. Believers. But I thought the preacher said, "Well, all we have to do is believe." You have to believe, but you better go past that. Because even the demons believe in Jesus. Paul says, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Hear me, church. Listen to what Paul's saying. Those who are not in Christ cannot please God. The Muslims pray 5 times a day to Allah. That God doesn't hear it because they don't pray through Jesus Christ. They're not children of God. They think they are. Their minds have deceived them. The God of this world has deceived them into thinking that their religion is what's going to bring them into God's presence. It's a lie. That's the fleshly mind. That's the mind not illuminated by the Holy Spirit. That's the devil saying, "You're okay. Boy, look how holy you are. You fast and you pray." So did the Pharisees. And Jesus called them pretenders. Remember that religion is man's attempt to get to God. When anyone attempts to please God apart from Jesus Christ, then they are guilty of the sin of Cain, who thought that he could come to God on his terms. You remember? Abel brought God some blood and fat from the flock of the sheep and offered it to him, and it said he accepted that. Cain brought him fruit from the ground. Now, I've read the arguments. Oh, the fruit of the ground was cursed, and Cain brought cursed fruit to God. That had nothing to do with it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Cain said, "I'm not bringing blood. I'll bring what my hands have helped to produce, and you'll accept that or not." And God said, "I don't accept that. I can't accept it." That's religion. Cain said, "God, I believe in you. I believe you blessed me with these crops, the work of my hands. And I'm going to bring you that blessing that you've blessed me with. And see, this is, I'm going to present this as a gift." And God said, "I can't accept that." He told the patriarchs, "Whenever you build an altar, don't put a tool to it. Take unhewn rock and stack it up and make an altar." Because he said, "The minute you fashion that stone with a tool, you've defiled it." You see what happened? Cain said, "I'll come to God on my terms. I know he said to offer blood, but I'm not offering blood. I'm going to offer the fruit of the ground." And God said, "I can't take that. I won't take it." Cannot's not a good word. Will not is a better word. I will not accept that. And let me tell you today, if you're here and you've never received what Christ did, you've never called out on the name of the Lord, He will not accept your religious acts of worship. They are an abomination to Him. God says, "I hate them." He said that to the Jews. He said, "Who asked you to trample my courts and to fast and to pray and to sing and to give me all these offerings of fat?" "Well, I thought you did." He said, "Yeah, but you are not obeying me. You're not exercising the love that I told you to exercise. You're not showing the world who I am. You're doing your acts, religious acts over here, and you're living your own life the other 6 days of the week." And God said, "I will not accept that from your hands." You see, Jesus says it's all or nothing, church. If you're going to follow Him, He said it's all or nothing. And He said, "If you can't give me your all, don't bother following me. I can't use you. I will not use you. For the kingdom of heaven, for the glory of God the Father. I will not." Boy, this is a bummer. When are you going to get to the good part? We're getting there. But I want you to understand something. Paul said, "You were dead in your trespasses and in your sin, in which you walked according to this world." The world will tell you you're okay. The world will lie to you. I'm going to tell you, the world lied to me. "Smoke this, pop this, drink this, and you'll be happy. You'll have peace." Boy, they lied to me. Remember them beer commercials? Saw all them good-looking boys and girls drinking beer. They wanted to get real. They need to show you the wino laying in the gutter puking his guts up. Laying in his own vomit. Urinating all over himself. Begging for money to get that next fix. Or show the heroin addict out there robbing somebody. Or crying and begging. Women selling their bodies to get drugs. That's what they need to show you, but they don't do that. They cover that up. You know, I go to the country club and we drink 12-year-old scotch and crystal. Pig slop's pig slop, whether you're drinking it out of a crystal cup or a wooden goblet. It's slop. That's all the world has to offer. This is how the world thinks. And this is how the God of this world has deceived them. Understand something. I am not looking down on people that don't know Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're trying to get to God other than through Jesus Christ, you're deceived. You're tricked. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So the next time you're praying for somebody you know that's lost, keep that in the back of your mind. Maybe you won't be so snooty and look down on them so much. Remember that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. He doesn't want them to understand the truth. He doesn't want you to understand the truth, Christian. He does not want you to get a hold of the truth that every spiritual blessing in heaven is already yours. The Bible says that God has raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated us with Him. When did that happen? When you died with Christ. You can't be raised up till you die. There's no resurrection without death. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? That just as Christ died and was raised, that we too should live a new life? That's God's plan. Well, brother, I'll come to church when I get some of the issues figured out. Don't wait that long because you'll never get them figured out. Bring them to God. In Christ alone is our redemption. Jesus affirmed this to the people of His day when He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself." I got a hold of that truth one day because Jesus was talking about two different resurrections. This is spiritual. Remember Jesus would talk and He'd say, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. You know what that means? Whoever's able to receive this and believe this, receive it. He was revealing Himself to these teachers of the law. He's saying, you're dead. You're all dead, spiritually. You're dead to God. But if you'll listen to Me, and you'll do what I've asked, you'll live. I know that because I have been granted the power of life. You remember what He said in John 14? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The Greek is very narrow there. He doesn't say I'm one of the ways. It says I'm the only way to get to God. Not Muhammad. Not Joseph Smith. Not Buddha. Not Hare Krishna. Not your good works, not your church membership, not your giving, not the way you dress. Jesus said, I'm the only way you can get to God. Because you're dead. And you have to have a new life. And Jesus said, I'm the one that has the power to give that life. If you listen to Me, what a claim. What a claim. He said, then don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear My voice and shall come forth. See, that's two separate resurrections. There's a spiritual resurrection that you can choose to respond to now. There's a physical resurrection that you ain't got any choice in, Hoss. You're going to come up. The Bible says the earth shall spew out the dead. I was reading that one day and I said, God, all the people buried in these hollers around here is going to pop up. The ones that went missing and people wondered whatever happened to them, they're going to pop up and say, I'm right here. Yeah. So you don't have a choice about the physical resurrection. Jesus Christ will do that, whether you want Him to or not. But the spiritual resurrection, you have a choice in. Well, how do I do that? Once you hear the truth, remember Jesus Christ is our wisdom. He was standing there teaching wisdom to men, and He said, if you can hear this, if you'll receive it, then listen to it. Well, what do I do when I hear it? Then you act upon what you hear. That's what faith is. We use those words in the church sometimes. We don't explain them very well. You know, well, if you respond in faith, well, what's faith mean? Faith means I believe what I hear. And the hyper-grace people said, all you got to do is believe. Well, what they don't tell you is you got to believe you're dead in sin. You're dead to God. That's how you are. And when you approach God, you need to approach Him like that. Say, look, I know I'm a sinner. I know that everything I do is displeasing to You, and I cannot do anything to come into Your grace. But then you got to realize He's already done it for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You ever have somebody go talk to the hand? I want to hit people when they do that sometimes. You know, you're talking, they go, talk to the hand because I'm not listening. You know what God says? Talk to my son. Talk to my son. Anyone who refuses to follow Christ chooses to follow Satan by default. I read Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible when I was a baby Christian. A lady in this church I was in, her husband bought it, and she said, my husband, I'm afraid he'll be trying these spells and stuff in here, so here. You know, I don't care if you try it, but I don't want my husband doing it. You know? And I sat down and read it. And you know what? You're either going to serve Jesus or you're going to serve the devil. If you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, you're going to serve Satan by default. And when I was reading that, people say, I don't see how anybody could be a Satan worshiper. Well, you are if you don't follow Jesus Christ. You're worshiping Satan, and your other god is you. You know, they talk about this new god of humanistic ideology. That's as old as the garden. When Satan said, you shall be your own god. And look where we're at. How far has that got us, people? Two world wars? Millions of people dying? You know that they have butchered 50 million plus children in this country since 1970? Butchered. Murdered them in their mother's wombs. I thought one day, if Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground for vengeance, I wonder how loud 50 million people is that's crying out to God. I'm glad I don't have to hear that. He does. Those people are dead. The ones that did that, the doctors that do that, the women that do it, they're dead. They don't know God. They're deceived. People like their own brand of religion because it doesn't require change. The Holy Spirit dealt with me on something this week, and He showed me some things that helped me out. He said, not everybody's looking for Jesus. The real Jesus. They're not looking for Him. But they want a Jesus of their own making. He's like a Frankenstein's monster. Remember in the story, Dr. Frankenstein goes to the cemetery and he robs graves and he gets these body parts to make this monster that he reanimates to prove that there was life after death. And the Holy Spirit said, what people do, Rick, is they go to these dead religions and they take a little bit of everything that they like and they make a Jesus out of it. And that's their Jesus. And He said, you can tell by the way they live and if you listen. That's dead. You can't get to God like that. He will not accept that. I love verse 4, but God. In Genesis 6 it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. It says, mankind began to say, God, how do we get to You? I know, we'll do this. We'll do this. Anything but what God's told us to do, we're going to go our way and do our thing. But God, who is is rich in mercy. Man, I love that. Because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. God did that. John said, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I looked that word up in the Hebrew one time, because sometimes I'm reading, I'll get curious about a phrase or a statement. You know what that propitiation refers to? The mercy seat. Remember on the ark, the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat? It says Jesus is our mercy seat. He offered His blood. The sinless Lamb of God offered His blood for your sins and mine. And God said, "Don't you dare try to come to Me any other way but through that blood." I was a baby Christian. I was reading the Word one day. I was in John where Jesus raised Lazarus. I was sitting in the living room by myself. My wife and kids went to the store or something. I was there alone. And I was reading where He raised Lazarus, and I got sad. And I said, "Man, Lord, I would have loved to have seen that. I'd have loved to have been one of Your people standing there and watch that dead man come out of the tomb and watch everybody's eyes get that big and 50 Jews scramble over the hill. We out of here, bye-bye." Because see, some of the Jews believed, some went to the Pharisees, said, "You know what? You know what this Jesus did? I saw it." And I said, "Lord, I'd love to see those miracles." And boy, the Holy Spirit said something to me I've never forgot. He said, "Son, I raise the dead every day." I said, "What? I've watched TBN. I never heard of anybody being raised from the dead. And I would think if that happened, it'd be on the news." He reminded me of when I was bound up in that dark world of drugs. And I began to call on Him. I began to realize I did believe that Jesus was the Christ. I did believe that He died for me, but I thought He didn't want anything to do with me. And I began to call to the Lord. I was in darkness. The Bible says that Satan puts a veil over the eyes of the unbelievers so they can't believe. Now, He's not saying it's the devil's fault. You allowed that veil to be there. You allowed yourself to be deceived. That's where I was at. And the Lord said, "I heard you." And in the Spirit, He said, "I walked up to that tomb. And there were demons standing there guarding that tomb." And He said, "I told them, open the door." And they argued and said, "Lord, this guy's been dead a long time. He is past stinking. He is rotted and corrupt." And Jesus said, "I told you to open that door." And He said, those demons pushed that rock back and they jumped back out of the way. And Jesus said, "Rick, come out here." Man, I come hopping out there bound in those grave clothes. My sin was around me like a chain. That veil was over my face. And the first thing He said to those demons was, "You loose him and let him go." And I think when Brother Lazarus come out of that tomb, if I'd have been there, the first thing I'd have took off would have been that grave cloth over his face so he could see what was going on. That's what my salvation experience was like. And when God pulled that veil off in Christ, the first thing I saw was my Lord. I'd heard about Him, but now it's like, "How do you do? My name is Jesus. Nice to meet you." And He commanded those chains to fall off of me. All because of the grace of God, not because of what I did. He didn't look at me and say, "Well, Rick's ready to be saved." But God, who is rich in mercy, loved me when I was dead. I'm not dead anymore. Bless God, I am not dead. I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. Sin no more has the mastery over me because I died to sin and I'm alive to God. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God! Somebody get happy. Yeah. We're not Pentecostal, brother. We don't do that. Well, let's learn. Amen. Are you free? Were you dead and are you alive now? Then tell somebody. You're going to run across somebody this week that needs to hear this. Tell yourself that. When the old devil gets up in your face, you can look at him and say, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I am seated with Jesus Christ on the right hand of God. I didn't say that. The Bible does. Well, I'd rather be humble. That's false humility. You're calling God a liar. What it is lack of accountability. I don't want to have that accountability, because if I really am, then I ought to be doing a lot more than what I'm doing now. Paul went on to say in Corinthians that whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's removed. He said, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Are you free? Yes, I am free in Christ. Jesus Christ is my sanctification. It's not a one-time thing where he went, you're sanctified. It's a lifetime. Every day Jesus says, pick up your cross, Rick. And when I pick up the cross, I got to lay something down. I got a little bit different outlook after I had that heart surgery. God told me before I went into surgery, I'm not done with you yet. You're going to be fine. Amen. And I had that peace. The elders come and pray to me. I love them for it. But I'm like, okay, God. And as I was going under, I was reciting the 23rd Psalm to myself. And I knew I was going to wake up. And now I know I'm living on His time. And someday, if the Lord tarries, He's going to call me home. And I kind of hope I'm preaching and I just drop dead behind the pulpit. It might freak you out, but, you know, well, that's better. I used to tell my wife, if I knew I was going to die, I'd crawl up under somebody's house I didn't like and I'd die. You know, about 3 or 4 days, they'd go, man, what is that smell? Jesus Christ has changed me. Hallelujah, I'll tell you what. Get a hold of this truth, church. When you were dead to God, He made you alive in Jesus Christ. I'm not giving you hyper grace. Here's your part. Acknowledge that you're dead. Stop trying to get to God through religion and just come to Him. Jesus said, poor in spirit, like a beggar, come to Him and say, God, I don't have anything to offer you but a broken life. And you know what? He says, I'll take it. Because when He touches things that are broken, they come back together and they heal. Well, what if God calls me to be a missionary? Let Him. You're a missionary already if you're a Christian. There's a mission field right here in Mansfield, Missouri. Ava, Missouri. Seymour, Norwood, Hartville, Mountain Grove. It's a mission field. You don't have to go to Africa to be a missionary. There's a new reality for those who are in Christ. God raised us up with Him. I was dead, now I'm not. Paul said, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You mean God didn't just save me so I could sit around and sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, throw a couple bucks in the plate once in a while? You remember we found out in chapter 1 of Ephesians, God did all this before He laid the foundations of the earth. He already had salvation's plan in mind. He already knew man was going to sin, and He already had a remedy for that. And boy, for that, we Christians go, praise the Lord. But before He laid the foundations of the world, He already had a purpose for your life. And I don't like that. You know, what if His purpose isn't my purpose? Then you better get out and line up with His purpose. Because Jesus said if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. You lose your life for my sake, you're going to save it. I know somebody looking at the watches, I'm almost done. What do I do? If you're here this morning, you say, what do I do? Okay, I agree with you. I'm dead. I know I'm dead. I don't have that peace you have. I don't have the assurance. I don't have that life in me. Paul said, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I delivered to you as the first importance that I also received, what I also received. Paul said, I had to receive it, now you have to receive it, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Peter was asked the same question. He preached, and they said they were cut to the heart, and they said, what do we do? Peter said, repent. That means turn around. That means change your mind. Church of Christ preacher made a very good point this morning I'd never thought about. He talked about the prodigal son, said, you know what he had to do? He had to turn his back on the pig pen and on that city of pleasure he went to, and he had to head back home. He put it behind him. No more piggies. No more prostitutes. No more what I was doing. I'm going to go home. That's what repentance means. You see, to believe doesn't mean you just believe in Jesus. It means you believe in His testimony against you. And the testimony of the Word of God says you're dead to God. You need to realize that. Well, if I'm dead, how am I ever going to have life? But God, who is rich in mercy, will quicken you, will give you life, even though you're dead. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your